You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program by the Ecological Society of America, where we interview scientists involved with public policy. Today, I'll be speaking with Adam Rosenblatt of Florida International University, one of this year's three Graduate Student Policy Award winners.
Currently, you're working through the Florida Coastal Everglades Long-Term Ecological Research Program. Could you talk a little bit about your research and how it impacts human society?
Yeah, so I am part of the LTER in the Florida Coastal Everglades, as you said, which is a large group of scientists, about 150 scientists, all doing research in the coastal Everglades. And my aspect of that research is working on American alligators and trying to figure out what their movement and feeding patterns are in the ecosystem. And the reason that I'm doing that and why it's really important is because American alligators are the top predators of the Everglades. And so they can have a large impact on the rest of the ecosystem through eating other animals or through scaring other animals and other interactions. And so we're trying to understand what their behaviors are so we can get a better idea of how the rest of the ecosystem interacts with them and responds to their influence. And the reason that it's really important for human society, the research in general, and my research specifically, is that we're trying to put together sort of an integrated picture of how the Everglades works so that we can promote a healthy Everglades through restoration. And it's really important for South Florida in particular to have a healthy Everglades besides the aesthetic and recreational aspects of the Everglades. The Everglades serves as a natural filtration system for the drinking water for most South Floridians. So my research and others is trying to contribute to making sure that there's healthy drinking water for humans in South Florida for a long time to come.
Prior to coming to Washington, D.C. to meet with federal lawmakers, you were contacted by a member of the Florida State Legislature who was working on Everglades legislation. Could you talk a little about this experience?
Yeah, that was just a really lucky sort of happenstance. As part of my research and the work in my lab, I was helping to design and implement a display for the Fort Lauderdale Museum of Discovery and Science about the alligator research that I've been doing for the past 5 years. And so once that display was implemented in the museum, they asked me and a couple other people to come and give talks on the opening weekend of this, of when this display was being unveiled for the first time. And so I went and gave a couple of public talks at the museum, and, you know, anybody could come. And it just so happened that one of the state representatives in the Florida legislature was there with his family that day. And so he heard me give my little spiel about alligators and why they're important and why the Everglades are important. And he came up to me after the talk and he said, you know, I'm a state representative from Miami-Dade County, and, you know, periodically we have Everglades legislation come up before the legislature that we have to vote on. And he said, you know, I'm not a scientist and I don't really understand this stuff as well as you and, you know, your colleagues do. So would you be willing to possibly, you know, advise me in the future on when this legislation comes up? And I said, yes, of course. And I gave him my card. And I said, you know, if I don't know the answer to any questions you have about whatever legislation it is, I'm sure I can find some of my colleagues who do know the answer. And I followed up with his office since that meeting about, you know, providing this expertise to him and his staff. And I don't think any Everglades legislation has come up recently, but, you know, it was really exciting just to sort of be asked to, you know, advise somebody who actually has some decision-making power.
During your meetings on Capitol Hill, what type of reception did you get from congressional staff on the importance of federally funded research? And was it what you expected?
Yeah, so the receptions from the different congressional offices were all really positive. You know, we came in and were asking them to support the National Science Foundation's budget request for the next fiscal year. And, you know, we made our pitch that science funding is very important for creating jobs and for spurring innovation and for also helping us to solve any environmental or technological problems that could arise in the future. And actually, every single one of the offices we visited, they, you know, were in agreement with us. They said, you know, we are big supporters of science, and, you know, we're glad that you guys are here to promote this, and, you know, we're on board with your team. The one interesting thing was that the staffers at the different offices, some of them were much more honest than I expected them to be. You know, I guess you expect from popular media for politicians and their staffers never to really give you a straight answer and to kind of dance around the subject. But some of the offices were really honest with us. You know, we said, we want you to support this budget request. And they said, you know, we're really pro-science and we're glad you're here to promote this. But, you know, this is an election year and, you know, it's a really toxic budget climate right now. And so, you know, the likelihood that we're going to vote on this measure anytime soon is very low. So we're glad that you're here and we're, you know, we are pro-science, but, you know, we're not sure that anything's actually going to come out of this in the near future. And that was just kind of refreshing for them to be honest with me.
Were there particular aspects of what you said or points you made during the meetings that seemed to resonate particularly well with policymakers?
Yeah, the things that resonated the most were what I was talking about before with how science contributes to job creation and innovation in different industries, you know, technology, and also especially for the offices that I met with, which, you know, because I'm a Florida constituent, and so I was meeting with Florida senators and congresspeople. And the thing that really resonated with them was when I started talking about how, you know, funding science for understanding the Everglades, which I do, is really important because it's, you know, the natural filter for most of the drinking water for South Florida. And, you know, anybody can understand immediately that people need drinking water to survive. And so, you know, promoting science for the protection of the drinking water for a large group of people, you know, what is it, like 10 million people who live in South Florida, that really resonated very easily with a lot of people. And that was a good message, I think.
In the meetings with the Florida offices, did the issue of invasive species come up?
Yeah, I brought up the issue of invasive species with Senator Bill Nelson from Florida because he was the one who put forward the bill to ban the importation of four different species of snakes to the U.S. in general. And the reason, you know, that he did that was because there are multiple species of invasive snakes that have now set up shop in South Florida and are causing a lot of damage. So I did talk to them about that, and it was, you know, it was they were very appreciative that we had taken notice that they had done something that we liked. The sad part of all that, of course, is that, you know, it's really good that this invasive species legislation got passed by Senator Nelson and his colleagues, but this legislation was passed after the fact, right? Like the snakes that are banned in this bill, at least two of them are already established invasive species in Everglades in particular. So, and you know, from what I've read and from the people I've talked to who do research on this subject, there's not really any going back at this point. Like these snakes are here to stay, and there's nothing really we can do about it. So even though it's good that we pass this legislation now, you know, it doesn't do anything for these snakes that are already established. I mean, it would be really good to be able to have some sort of system in place to identify potential invasive species and to ban them before they come here. But, you know, of course, as human beings, what we do most of the time is reactionary. And so we react to the situation after it's already presented itself. And we're not, especially with invasive species, it's been shown over and over again, we're really bad at anticipating what the effects of introducing a new species are going to be.
What advice would you give other young scientists seeking to engage in public policy?
The advice I would give, I think, you know, is the advice that a lot of people have said before, but mostly it's initially get involved at the local level as much as you can. I know that one thing that goes on through the work that I do is as part of the LTER, we are a lot of the scientists are sort of plugged in to these stakeholders meetings that happen, because basically anytime some kind of legislation comes up at the local or the federal level that has to do with the Everglades and the restoration process that's going on right now, they hold stakeholders meetings where, you know, the public can come, scientists can come, the local tribes of Native Americans come, and everybody can voice their opinions and be heard. And so I think it's really important to get involved at the local level in those kinds of meetings and sort of learn how that process works, because that's really where the rubber meets the road, right, in terms of science policy, is that you can have the best science policy in the world, but if it doesn't, you know, resonate with the public and they come to these stakeholders meetings, then, you know, you're going to get sort of shot down. The other thing is to reach out to elected officials. You know, they don't have to be congressmen and senators. They can be, you know, city councilmen, or they can be state representatives. Because what I learned through this experience mostly is that, you know, these people are really good politicians, but they're not, you know, they're not scientists, and so they need our expertise to inform their decisions. And if we don't reach out to them, you know, there's no guarantee that they're going to reach out to us. They might just make a decision without being properly informed. So reach out to elected officials and offer advice and expertise. And the last thing is, of course, don't get discouraged, because the political process is, as you and many other people know, is a extremely complicated and convoluted process, and it is, you know, reactionary by its nature. So, you know, when you try to reach out and do something to affect a change and it doesn't work out the way you planned, you know, don't get discouraged by that. You just have to keep going and keep trying to make a difference.
And that was Adam Rosenblatt with Florida International University. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time when The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Gatelli. For a link to Dr. Gatelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.